Welcome to Richardson's Cove Baptist Church. We're glad to have you. Tune in with us and Dr. David Ayers from our Sunday morning worship service as we study God's Word together.
In our continuing study of doctrines, we're going to look at prayer today. Prayer is pretty important, isn't it? You know, I think that once we get saved, there are a couple of things that really go side by side. One is the study of God's Word, and the other is prayer. I think those two things are vital to any relationship that we have with Christ. We got to study God's Word and allow Him to speak to us, and we have to lift up our petitions, our prayers, our supplications up to Him. That's basically what prayer means. It's lifting the supplications, it's prayer, it's petitions, requests, praises. So a lot of things are together when you think about the word prayer. So I thought, what better place for us to look than Matthew chapter 6 at the prayer that Jesus taught us how to pray. So stand with me if you will. We're going to read Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse number 9 through verse number 13. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed we know, meaning holy or pure. Verse 10, thy kingdom come. And he's talking about the rule that God has, his power that he has, all that encompasses who God is. He's saying, thy kingdom, who you are, let thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, in that statement, he's basically saying, we know it's perfect in heaven now. We know that your will is accomplished in heaven. So just as it is there, our prayer is that it'll be like that here. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. You think about the manna, when the manna was given each day, except the day before the Sabbath, they went out and gathered double so they could have enough for the Sabbath day, so they didn't have to gather up on the Sabbath. It was a day of rest. So he said, every day you'll go out and gather up that jar full of manna. And that's what he's talking about in verse 11. Give us daily what we need. Tomorrow's going to take care of itself, and yesterday's already dead and gone. So let's pray for God's grace, God's provisions to be here for us today. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I don't like that verse. I don't like it because the forgiveness I receive from the Father hinges on the forgiveness I'm willing to give towards somebody that has offended me. He's saying, forgive us, Lord, as we forgive others. Forgive me in the same relation that I forgive people around me. If you're not willing to forgive somebody, guess what? That sin's going to linger. Verse 13, lead us not into temptation. Not that God would ever lead us into temptation, but trials and tribulations. Spare us, he's basically saying. Spare us that hardship. Spare us those trials and those difficulties of life. Keep us from those. As many as you can, God, keep us from those. But deliver us from evil. Be our deliverer. Pray. We're praying that you're delivering us from the things that we face. For thine is the kingdom, not anybody else's. Nobody else's, thine. For thine is the kingdom and the power. He is the kingdom. He is the power and the glory. Glory is not due anybody else forever. Amen. Father, we come to you today. This Lord's Prayer that the disciples inquired. They said, show us how to pray. We don't know how to pray. We don't really know how to talk to God. Jesus, show us how to pray. And Jesus, you beautifully shared these elements of what make up a wonderful prayer and a complete prayer, praising you for who you are and lifting up those petitions, acknowledging our great need of you and praying for those daily provisions, praying for forgiveness and to meet our needs for each day and acknowledging your glory and your power forever and ever. God, what a beautiful prayer that's set before us. And as we learn how to pray, may we truly understand that it is a communication with you. It's not a pattern prayer that we need to pray, but God, it's honesty from our heart that we need to lift up to you. Help us, God, to truly be honest and open with you about everything going on in our lives. Help us regularly, God, to ask you this, forgive us of our sins. Forgive me, God, of my iniquity and all of my sins, the things that would hinder me in my life so that I can be used by you. God, forgive me as well as I forgive others and help me to be forgiving. God, be with us today as we examine prayer. And hopefully, God, if we don't have a prayer life, we'll develop one today. If we do have one, our prayer is that it would be, we encourage that, God, and support that, and see the importance of that, that we pray much. Teach us, God, to pray much. Have your way in the remainder of this service, that we may glorify you through all of it. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So, prayer. Do you have a prayer life? When I ask that question and you think about it right now, do you have a prayer life? Do you have one? What is your, if you do, just saying, well, I prayed once or twice, or I pray ever so often, or I pray when the need arises. I don't know that I'd really consider that a prayer life, because I think a prayer life is literally a life. It's a continuing thing that we do. Blessing our food, a prayer at night before we go to bed. That's pretty good, you know. We're getting in there. At least we're communicating regularly. But a prayer life is when prayer literally becomes part of your life. Is it a part of your life? Do you pray only when hard times hit? Do you only pray and get intense in that communication with God when we're facing something hard? Or do you pray? Do you pray a lot? Do you communicate with God a lot? I talk to Him, I think, a lot. I don't necessarily go to the altar all the time, but it's a beautiful place to go. When nobody's here, through the week, come up here and kneel down and pray, and we'll tell you, it's a great place. Not everybody has the altar, has availability where you're at to come to the altar. So prayer's not limited to location, is it? Thank God. Amen. It's not limited to location, but He'll hear you anywhere and everywhere if you're praying. But let prayer be exactly what it is. Let it be a line of communication where you're talking to God. So in thinking about that, in thinking of what all that prayer involves, I think that Matthew chapter 6 gives us a great example as Jesus shared. Well, this, if you're going to pray, guys, here's a great pattern to go by if you're going to pray. Some people like to recite the Lord's Prayer every day. If you do, great, good for you, that's wonderful. Make sure that what we're praying is coming from the heart and not just coming from something we've memorized. Because it literally is communication. I think that prayer can be like communication we have with anybody. Scotty and I talk a lot. I don't think a day goes by that we don't talk several times. And that's good. It's a good thing. And I think what's so beautiful, Scotty, about our conversations that we have is when we talk, I don't know that we ever say, boy, it's cold outside. Boy, man, it's going to heat up. You know, idle conversation never really happens with us. And I'm going to tell you why idle conversation never happened. It did when we first got together because we didn't really have a lot to talk about. We've grown together. And even though I'm the senior pastor and I'm older, our relationship has grown and our communication has grown to the point that when we get together, we kind of have the same things on our heart. We have a lot of things we want to discuss that one's already experienced. So when we talk, we're being productive when we talk about things. I love being able to not just talk on the phone a lot, but being able to physically sit back here in the office on Sunday mornings or through the week if He's able to come by. And we'll sit and look each other in the face and see how we respond to things and how the conversation goes. And we'll pray together and we'll talk about things that could be a blessing perhaps to the church. And what I'm getting at is this. Prayer can be and should be a life to you. It's a part of your life. It's a growth. The closer He and I get together, the more we understand each other and the more we know how to be accurate in what we talk about. Our relationship with Christ is no different. He desires that with us. He wants you that when you pray, do you have these people in your life that you've been around that you say, man, I love to hear them pray? Yeah, people like that? Because when they pray, it's almost as if, here's what they're doing, it's almost as if they start praying and say, Lord, And as they start, begin the conversation, it's almost as if you're tapping in to a conversation of a couple of guys sitting on a couch together, sitting on the front porch, you know, in rocking chairs, just communicating. It's almost as if you tapped into something that might even be private, but you've been allowed access to that. Your prayer life needs to be that way. You need to be talking to God, not filling out a request and getting it emailed to heaven. But prayer is to be a relationship, part of the relationship with God. I know some of us guys that are married, we're not the greatest communicators around. Our wives will be the first to attest to that. We're not the world's best communicators. But any marriage that's going to be successful is going to have some communication. You have to have it. And as you understand and get to know each other better, that communication grows and it gets more beautiful and more beautiful. God wants the very same thing to happen to us in our prayer life. It needs to be part of our life. So I'm going to break down a few things that I've jotted down here I think are important elements of prayer. So if we're going to look at the doctrine of prayer, there's a whole lot of stuff we could say that I don't have prepared for today. But here's some things to at least get you started. And I believe that it would be good for you to do your own study on the doctrine of prayer. It would be good for you to examine your life. And am I really praying properly? Am I not that there's really a wrong way to pray. The only wrong way to pray is, I believe, to not pray. At least we're communicating with God. And us guys, in our defense, even though we may not say the right thing, at least sometimes we're communicating. Amen. You know, it's kind of like when your wife may look at you and say, honey, do I look fat in this jersey? You know there's no good answer to that, because if you say, well, no, honey, you're just lying. You know, we know there's no right answer. We get trapped. But at least you're communicating. So let's communicate, and God will help us begin to say the right things and understand how we need to communicate and talk to Him. So when we pray, here's some requirements. You ever notice that when we pray, what do we say when we close out a prayer? In Jesus' name. It becomes habit-forming for us, doesn't it? It's a good habit to get into when you pray, to pray in Jesus' name, right? You ever pray and just say amen and don't say in Jesus' name? I kind of feel weird if I don't say that, don't you? You ever wonder where that come from? Why do we say in Jesus' name? I'm going to show you right here. You ready? All right. John chapter 16, verse 23 and 24 says this. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's talking about after he is going to die on the cross, he's going to go into the grave, he's going to come out, and he's going to sin. He's talking about basically after the ascension. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. What he's saying is after I'm gone and I've ascended, you're not going to be asking me personally anything. I'm not going to physically be here anymore. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. So he's giving us this description, and he's saying that as you pray, once I've left you, you're not able to speak to me physically. But once I've ascended and you pray to the Father, then you pray in my name. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. But he's saying now, ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. It's kind of like when you go to a place of business and you go in there and somebody calls you and say, well, hey, where can I get this done? Where do you buy this? Where's a good place to get a qualified person to come in and to take care of this project in my house? Or where do you buy this? And so somebody will say, go over here, out there on the highway, and when you go in the place of business, go in there and tell them old Bob sent you. Anybody ever do that? You got a Bob in your life that turns you on to these places and gets you these deals? Don't you love having a Bob in your life? Now you can go in somewhere and say, oh, you're a friend of Bob's, are you? Yeah. Hey, we're going to fix you up, you know, maybe get 25% off. I don't know. But it's good to have connections when we go into things like that. So we'll ask our friends, you know anywhere I can get this or get that? And they'll say, tell them I sent you. When you come, commercials say that a lot. Well, Not that Jesus is along those lines, but there is some similarity there. Jesus is saying, when you go to the Father and you pray and you're talking to Him about something, you tell Him that I sent you to Him. You tell Him that as you're praying and communicating with Him, that you're coming in My name. Isn't that good? To know that when we pray, we don't necessarily have to say audibly in Jesus' name every time, but it must be the sentiment of our heart that the only way we can gain an audience with God the Father is in the name of Jesus Christ, His Son. So, what does that tell us about prayer? It tells us if we're not praying in His name, He's not going to hear us, is He? I don't think He's going to hear us if we're not praying in His name. I think it's imperative that we are praying in that name of Jesus, because of that name of Jesus, through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit that is within us. So it means that if we're not saved, is He going to hear us? Nope. He's not going to hear you. There are some that would say, well, I'm not saved, but, you know, I've prayed to whatever I've prayed to, and certain things have happened that have justified what I've... Well, it's not that you've prayed to God and God's heard you and God's answered your prayer. The first prayer God's going to hear from a lost person is the prayer of confession of sin and seeking forgiveness and asking God to save you. After that, then you develop that prayer life and that relationship with God, and you can pray in Jesus' name. A lost person cannot pray in Jesus' name. They don't have that ability to, because they've not been saved by His precious blood. There's something about praying to God as opposed to praying to something or someone else. When Elijah climbed up on Mount Carmel, and he talked to those guys, those prophets of Baal and of the groves, and he said, listen, guys, you go first. I want to let you have first opportunity to pray and to get a hold of Baal and let him come down and answer and consume this sacrifice. I want to give you all the time that you need from the noon offering to the evening offering, about 3 hours. Now think about it. I know sometimes it feels like I keep you in here for 3 hours, but I really don't. It just feels that way. Amen. They literally prayed 3 hours. Can you imagine being anywhere in one place? Now, not only did they pray, now keep this in mind, they were praying to absolutely nobody. Amen. They were praying to nothing, because there is no other God to pray to. They were praying to the air. And as they prayed, it said in Kings, they took knives and lances and cut their bodies as they prayed till the blood poured from their bodies. They were at the point of almost sacrificing their lives to get Baal to answer them and consume this sacrifice to show that He was real. After they had expired about 3 hours and all of them were about passed out from loss of blood, Elijah came up and he said, guys, I think it's my turn now. Get up here and water down the sacrifice. Water it down again. Water it down again. Keep watering it down. Get it soaking wet that the ditch around it's filled with water. And then he prayed to God. And God answered by fire and consumed the sacrifice, burned up the wood, licked the water up in the ditch, and let them know that day there is a God in Israel. Amen. What was the difference? Well, the difference was because he was praying to God. That's what the difference was. He was praying to God and it was God's will. Obviously, we're going to get into that. But praying in His name, praying to Him specifically, Peter and John, after Jesus had ascended, were walking past the temple. They saw a lame man there. And as he was there, they looked at him. And he was hoping to receive alms, to receive some money or something beneficial from them. And as he looked up and his hand was open and he was looking to them, they said, silver and gold, we don't have. We ain't got money to give you. But what I have, I'm going to give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Amen. What happened to the guy? He rose up and he walked. And then he started running. Then he started jumping and leaping and somersaults, going into the house of God to celebrate. What's the difference? They were praying in Jesus' name. They were inspired by the Spirit of God that this is what we need to do. And as they were inspired, they prayed in Jesus' name. They didn't say, rise up out of the power of Peter and John. No, they said in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He is the only one that we can pray in His name, because without Christ, heaven will not hear what you and I have to say. There's no way my prayer will be heard other than my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So we got to pray in His name. And something else real quick before I look at this next one. I thought about this as well. When we're in church and we'll ask somebody, Scotty asked Larry back there to pray when we receive the offering, and we'll say, so-and-so, lead us in prayer. Lead us in prayer. I'll ask Alan at times, lead us in prayer. What are we saying when we're saying lead us in prayer? I'll tell you what we're not saying. When you hear that, and you hear it regularly in church, lead us in prayer. It's not that we're wanting to just sit and let somebody stand and present a prayer on behalf of all of us. No, the reason we say lead us in prayer is basically we're asking to begin the prayer for us. Begin that dialogue and that relationship, that communication with God. We should never just sit and let somebody pray all over and all around us. We should let somebody perhaps lead us or begin the conversation. But when we ask somebody to lead us in prayer here, I want everybody in this house to be praying. Well, but I love to hear Alan pray. He has a beautiful prayer. That's good. Record it. Listen to it later. I mean, I'm not making light of the situation, but I'm telling you something. When we have opportunity to pray, listen, we don't have to go through somebody else to get to heaven other than Jesus. So when we say, so-and-so, lead us in prayer, then God needs to hear, I don't know how many's in here, let's say 250. God needs to hear 250 praying, talking to Him, not just one. When we are allowed an opportunity to come in God's house together and to pray, let's collectively pray. Let's rock heaven every time that we ask somebody to lead us in prayer. I want God to be flooded with prayers and petitions going up to Him. You might say, well, I don't even know what I'm going to pray about. No, just pray. Talk to Him. God, it's good to have health to be able to come to church today. It's good to be able to get up here and just sit on this pew and just be here. God, thank You for the privilege. If you don't have anything else to say to God, no initial petition to present to Him, you can always be thankful for the things God's done for us. So, I wanted to throw that in there. The second, I believe, basic requirement is that it must be accompanied with faith. How can you pray and not pray in faith? Well, you can. Is anything going to happen? No, there ain't nothing going to happen. Matthew chapter 21, verse 21, 22. Jesus answered, He said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and you doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, Jesus cursed a fig tree here, but also if you say unto this mountain, be you removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. There's a guy that was possessed. Jesus' disciples went to Him, and they prayed and tried to get those devils cast out of Him. And they called Him a lunatic, was the phrase that they used. And He had this possession. It wasn't able to get rid of Him. So they came back, and the man with the father of the son that was labeled the lunatic came to Jesus and said, your disciples came and they tried to get them cast out, but they couldn't do it. What's going on? And Jesus said, it's because of your unbelief that you're not able to see these things happen. If you're going to pray about something, pray believing what you're praying about. What we need to first off do is believe that when God tells us something, when God gives direction in our life, we've got to believe what He tells us. Then we've got to believe to the point that we're willing to act upon what God is telling us we need to do. So, old Joshua out there went and talked to the captain before they entered into Jericho, and the captain said, well, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go in there, you're going to march around Jericho, yada, yada, all this stuff. Eventually, the wall's going to come down, you're going to go in, and you're going to trample underfoot this city of Jericho, then you're going to go into the rest of the land and possess it. So we think about where Joshua's at. He first had to believe this captain was a representative from heaven, that he literally spoke the word of God to him. So we've got to believe this word. We've got to believe this to be the word of God. We've got to believe that when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, that it is God speaking to us. So secondly, not only do we need to believe it, but we need to believe it to the point that we're willing to act upon it. Faith is not something we can just say that we have, but faith is truly demonstrated when we act upon what we know to be true from God. So that's where faith comes in. What does Hebrews 11, Scotty talked about this morning? For without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. For anybody that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You've got to believe in Him. Without faith, we can't please God. Without faith, we can't really pray if we're not believing what we're praying. If I don't believe God is able to accomplish anything in my life, then what good am I doing if I'm praying? I know I said earlier that's important to have dialogue and communication, even if we don't really know what we're saying, or even if we're just kind of talking randomly, and that's okay to get the ball rolling. But friends, we've got to learn to believe in God. We've got to learn to believe in His Word, believe in what Christ is telling us, believe in the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That's a requirement, is as we pray, understand we're praying in the name of Jesus, and we should be, and understand that it must be accompanied with faith. Now, what are some ways of prayer? What are some considerations when we think about prayer? One is that when we pray, do you ever have those people in your life that you think, oh my goodness, please don't call on him to pray, because he's going to catch up all week right here on us, and I'm hungry. He's got to catch up everything he missed out on all week in his prayer, and, you know, he prays in the King James Version, and, yeah, I'd like to get out of here and go eat. You know, I'm prayed up. You catch up at home. You got those kind of things where it just seems like it drags and it goes on and on and on and on and on. Well, there's a verse of Scripture that describes that and tells us about praying basically simple and straight and to the point. Matthew 6, verse 6 and 7 says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray," listen to this, "use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard of their much speaking." So he's basically telling us, when I pray, is there anything wrong with reciting the Lord's Prayer every day? There's absolutely nothing wrong with it, as long as you're not doing it in vain. Nothing wrong with a repetitious prayer, as long as the repetitious prayer is not in vain. It's the sentiment of the heart that makes the difference, isn't it? So if you have a custom or a habit or something that you and your family do to where you recite, even when you sit down to a meal, perhaps you say the same prayer collectively when you sit down for a meal. There's absolutely nothing wrong with a repetitious prayer, as long as it's not a vain, repetitious prayer. But to say it for the sake of just saying it, that, my friends, is where the problem comes in. So he's saying, don't be like those hypocrites. All they're doing is reciting prayers to be heard by people. They're just reciting them because they think that everybody loves to hear them as they pray, and the beautiful, long, big words that they use. But what God is basically telling us, what Christ is telling us, you pray straightforward and you pray simply about things in your life. You don't have to beat around the bush. Get to the point. You know, I wonder sometimes in heaven if God's saying, "Whew, I'm getting hungry. I wish this guy would get to the point." Not that God really gets hungry, but get to the point. What are you talking to me about? What is it on your heart? If we've got something pressing, have you ever been to where you've been a little bit timid to even talk to God about it? Have you? Yeah, I mean, I think we've all been there. Been a little bit shy about even saying it, because when we say it audibly, it's almost like, oh, I actually said that. Now we're dealing with it. So we're afraid to say certain things to God. Spoiler alert, he already knows. Say what you want to say to God. Even if you're unsure, you're saying it the proper way, the right way. Say what you need to say to God in honesty, in pure honesty. Paul, he prayed, didn't he? And he was specific about what he wanted to pray about. He prayed for God to take the thorn out of his side, which we don't know that it was a physical thorn in his side as much as a physical ailment. And he prayed for God to take it out. I don't know that he beat around the bush a lot with that. I think he just basically said, hey, God, take this thorn away. God, take this thorn away. Three times, take this thorn away. Get this out of my life. You see, he had to pray, and he was specific about what he was praying for. Are we really, here's something to consider. A generic prayer is going to heed generic results. Ooh, how you like that's pretty good right there, wasn't it? Yeah. So if you're just praying, God just bless everybody, love everybody, save everybody, heal everybody. I mean, what does God do with that? It shows a lack of concern on your part for really anybody. Amen. If I don't have time in my busy life to stop, and God bless Ernest. God bless him. Bless Melanie. I don't even have to know what's going on in people's lives. But if I'm in prayer, if somebody's on your heart, don't pray generically. Let's get specific about what we pray about. Listen, send names and people to heaven and put them there on that throne room of God. Let God mull over that a little bit and let it simmer up there and see what God is going to do in their lives. I think it makes a difference. I know it makes a difference when we tell God people we love and are concerned about. Why do we send those prayer requests out? When we do our prayer text, when somebody has a death in the family or going through a surgery, why do we do those kind of things? I'll tell you why we don't do it. We don't do it just so you can have information, be nosy about everybody's life. I'll tell you that. Why do we do it? We do it so people connected to the prayer text can pray specifically for that person, the situation they're going through. That's why we do it. If we're just doing no more than gossiping, that's not a prayer request. So God expects us to be specific about the things we're... Have you labeled things? I have. I've labeled things. I've sent people to heaven, haven't you? And God expects us to continue doing that. Don't just be generic in your prayer life, but be specific in your prayer life. Even when Jesus prayed, he went to the tomb of Lazarus. You know, we don't have a lot of documented prayers of Jesus because he went alone to pray. Those were not documented. Jesus, when he was standing at the tomb of Lazarus, Father, he said, Father, thank you for hearing me. And he goes on and talks about how God the Father hears the prayers of the Son. And as he closed up that prayer, he looked to the tomb and he said, Lazarus, come forth. I believe that was part of the prayer. He was praying, Lazarus, come forth. So what happened? Lazarus came forth. There's nothing else that could have happened. Jesus named the name Lazarus, and he told Lazarus what he needed to do. Encourages us to be very specific about the things that we need to be praying for. And secondly, we need to be persistent in prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, I love this, one of the longest verses in the Bible. Pray without ceasing. I joke. Pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Does that mean that I got to pray all the time? He said pray without ceasing. That kind of means all the time, don't it? I think what he's trying to tell us, though, is that it's a lifestyle and it's an attitude that we need to have. Again, you don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to bow your head. Okay, let's break that down. Why do we do that? Why do you do that? Maybe you've always wondered, why do I close my eyes? Why do I bow my head? Why? Well, the bowing, obviously, is a respect for who it is you're about to address. Sometimes people get on their knees when they pray to God. It's showing respect for who it is, a level of respect for who it is you're addressing and who you're approaching when you're calling upon heaven. Even though God is here, even though the presence of the Spirit is within us, You're still showing a matter of respect to him. We'll either perhaps stand up and bow before him or kneel down and bow. But we'll bow the head. And why do we close the eyes? Do you have to close your eyes? Have you ever prayed with your eyes open? Yeah, I pray with my eyes open all the time. I don't think it counts them out from not being heard. Because if you're driving, you have to pray with your eyes open. Please don't close your eyes. So what is the significance about closing your eyes? Well, it's simple. It's simply this. It's not that God said, close your eyes when you... No, what it does, it filters out all the stuff that could be distracting to your eyes. Why did he say go get in your closet? Is there loud music playing in your closet? Typically, no. Why did he say go to your closet? He's saying go to a place that is quiet, that is private, that you're not going to be interrupted, that you can get a hold of heaven without distractions. Listen to this. God is never distracted, but we, on the other hand, are easily distracted. So we need to pray. And the only way we can pray persistently about things, to continue in prayer for things, is to be in an attitude where we're not distracted by things. We talked about Paul. How many times he prayed for the thorn in his flesh? 3 times. Why did he just pray 3 times? Because God answered him on the 3rd time. That's why. How long would Paul have prayed for the thorn in the flesh if God had not answered him the 3rd time? I'll tell you how long he would have prayed until God answered. We'll be persistent in prayer. There's a story in Luke chapter 11, I believe it is, that talks about Jesus is describing this petitioning, this continued petitioning. And he said, say you have a friend, a neighbor that lives nearby you, and it's the midnight hour, and you just find out you have another friend coming into town, and you don't have enough bread. You don't have enough food to supply him. You run to your neighbor's house. You knock on the door, and you say, oh, man, listen, can you come out and give me some bread? I got a friend coming. I don't have enough stuff to provide for him. I really need some help. And the friend says, look, my kids are already in the bed. They're already asleep, so I can't do it right now. And as you persist in trying to get some help from him, eventually the friend, Jesus said, is going to come out and give you all the bread you want, not because you're a friend, but because they're sick and tired of you nagging them to death in the middle of the night. So he's trying to let us know the importance of being persistent in prayer. It will accomplish something. So if that can be accomplished, the unjust judge that this widow continually came, and note the Bible declared him an unjust judge, they continually come to him, this widow did, and eventually the unjust judge gave in to what she wanted, not because whether she was right or wrong as much, as he was tired of her coming to his office every day. Jesus is saying, how much quicker will I bless you with an answer because I love you. And I am just, so you be persistent. Some folks have asked me, they've said, preacher, I've been praying for somebody, for this situation, or whatever that is. I've been praying for that thing for 20 years. How long do I pray? Until God answers. I can't say that God's going to answer it quickly, but God will answer because God does hear. Now, let's talk about the unanswered prayer. Have you ever had any of those? Oh, my goodness. Man, I could write a book on the unanswered prayers, couldn't you? How many times have you prayers gone unanswered? Here are some reasons to why some of our prayers are unanswered. Consider this, Matthew chapter 6, 14, 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Wow. So what's a hindrance of prayers being answered? The number one is sin in our life. That's what he's describing there. Listen to Psalm 66, 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That's what Psalm 66, 18 says. He will not hear you. Proverbs 28, 9. This one got me. Proverbs 28, 9. He that turneth away his ear from the hearing of the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination unto God. Wow. If If I'm not where I need to be with God, my sins are not confessed, then God considers my prayer nothing more than an abomination. Even if I'm praying a good thing or a godly thing or a right or just thing, I got to get the sin out of my life before God's going to hear me. There's even a passage of Scripture that talks about husbands. Husbands, if you're not honoring your wife, your prayers are going to be hindered. Wow. Seriously, God? Seriously. We need to honor our wives so our prayers will not be hindered. What's another cause? One is, it's not His will. Prayers will not be answered the way we desire at times because they are not in accordance to the will of God. That's a big problem we have. Because I think sometimes we can get emotionally attached, we can get involved, we can feel as though it's a good thing or a right thing to do, but it perhaps may not be the right thing in God's eyes. David wanted to build a temple because he loved his palace, and it broke his heart that the house of God was just a tabernacle that was a makeshift place. It didn't have a permanent residence, permanent place. They could say this is where God communes with us and a symbol of the presence of God. He desired to do a good thing, but God said, I'm not going to let you build my temple because I don't want a man with blood all over his hands like you have, David, to build it. I want a man of peace. Your son Solomon's going to be the one that's going to build that house. So it wasn't God's will for David to build the house, even though it was a good idea. There are things you and I may have that think, boy, God's going to be all over that because this is dynamite. And then God says, no, because it's not God's will. Is it easy for us to be accepting of God's will even though we feel strongly about it? No, it's not easy. But should we be accepting of it if it's not God's will? Absolutely we should. Why should we be? Because God has something better for us in mind. You know what God has? I mean, if we put it down simply, here's what it is. If we're praying for something that we feel good about and God says, no, it's not my will, even though it may discourage us, we should be thrilled that God has answered, that God has finally said, it's not my will, and know that God's will is just around the corner, that what He does desire to be done, He will bless you with the knowledge and information on that when it's time. So, not being His will, James, got to put my peepers on. James 4:3 says, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. So there are times that we're going to pray and we're going to be selfish in our prayer, and it's something for us rather than what God really intends for us in our life. You ever pray a selfish prayer? I think we've all prayed selfish prayers. We need to be cautious of that. God will not answer those selfish prayers. And He said, you ask and ask and ask. You receive not. Why? Because you're asking for yourself. And another one is, and I don't like this one either, is because it's not time yet. Because it's not time yet. There are things that God has His timetable set up on and things that we want done today or this week. And God says, no, I'm not going to answer you. I'm not going to do it because the timing is not right. It's not the best opportunity for you to be the most blessed or to be the most beneficial. And you know, here's what God usually does with that. When we pray about something and God responds by just, I'm not answering it, it's not time yet. When we get to the point to where if it is His will and it is time, we look back and say, thank you, Lord, that you delayed. Thank you, God, because of what happened here. Thank you that you waited. And thank you, God, that you gave me enough knowledge and wisdom where I was willing to trust you in that waiting. It's not time yet. Martha wanted Jesus to come and heal Lazarus. He was sick and he was dying. They looked for Jesus. They couldn't find him. He was gone. He intentionally left to be away until Lazarus died, and he was 4 days in the grave. I can imagine what Martha thought about Jesus at the funeral. We don't know what she said, but I can kind of assume what her heart might have felt. The very one that loves Lazarus and loves us. If you'd have been here, you could have healed my brother, and we wouldn't be at his funeral today. Jesus is always on time. So when he showed up, yes, I know they had to go through the death and the funeral and the mourning and the broken hearts. But I tell you something, I can't imagine what that resurrection day of Lazarus must have been like when Jesus told him to come out of that tomb. And he got up and he came out of that tomb. His timing is perfect, and we need to learn to be patient in God's timing. Those are some of the reasons God will not answer our prayers, among others. But those are some important ones. And this last thought is this: the effect that prayer has. James 5:16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." The word "much" here means plenty and abundant. It means plenty and abundant. God will give plenty in response to a righteous prayer, and he will give abundance in response to a righteous, to fervent, intense, righteous praying from somebody that's righteous where they need to be with God. This closing thought, think about this. God will never answer a prayer that is not prayed.
Thank you for joining us. Check out rcbc.us for worship times and ministry information. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Psalm 29:11. And from our church family, God bless you.